The very first sermon I ever preached was this text. I realized that preparing this morning, and not sure what all I'm going to say about it. This is another one of those times, and I've been having this a lot, where I feel real confident what the topic is to be, but I'm not real sure what all I'm going to say. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Of course, this is from the Old English King James. I like this because I memorized it as a kid. Mom taught us memory verses. We've been talking about the promises of God in our mentoring group, and the guys are committing to memorizing Scripture, and I think that's an awesome thing. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I think in the days we're heading into, and the season we're heading into, and the return of Christ, it's critically important to have God's word stowed away in your memory. And then the Holy Spirit can bring that to you. And it's amazing how that works. You have verses that you've committed to memory, you've worked on, you've carried around maybe in your pocket, and maybe you're not a good memorizer, and that's fine, but you carry those around or have them on your phone, and it's amazing if you familiarize yourself with that, how God will then bring that to your mind in a time of need. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Anybody get confused about anything ever? Anybody have anything happen in your life you didn't fully understand? Any why questions in your life that you can't get past sometimes? Don't lean on your own understanding. If you lean on your own understanding, especially the time period we're entering into right now, you'll get in big trouble real fast. There's going to be a lot of things happen in the months and years ahead that aren't going to make sense. We live in the end times. We live in the season where there's birth pains that are going to bring back the Messiah. The earth and world are in travail. And we're entering some troubled times, and there's going to be some things that don't make sense. There's going to be some things that don't seem to add up. You got to hang on during that time. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I got to figure this out. No, let it go. Let it go. I got to figure this out. Devil's the author of confusion. In Revelation, it speaks of mystery Babylon, and Babylon is an interesting word in the Bible. Babylon means confusion, and we're living in a time that's very confusing and conflicting things, and there's all kinds of things brewing in our world. I don't think anybody realizes how close we could be to a revolution in our country, and certainly there are places simmering and ready to explode all around the world. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Lord, I need direction. I need to know which way to go. I need your guidance. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will direct your paths. The Lord won't drop a scroll down out of the sky in front of you and you instantly understand everything, but you will look back, for life is lived forward and understood backwards. Life is lived forward and understood backwards. And you will look back in your life if you commit yourself to the Lord and trust in Him with all of your heart. If you acknowledge Him in all of your ways, you will look back and see that He has led you and He has directed you. We are in a very confusing time in our ministry in Haiti right now, which is one of the arms of our outreach here that God has opened up. And it's neat how God has created some awesome things. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to your mind, but you'll rejoice in what I create. I just shared with Kevin in a text this morning and said, I believe this is all going to make sense as we go along. And as God opens up the bigger thing that He's doing, we're going to look back and look at it and say, okay, that step was necessary. That step was necessary. Man, that threw us for a loop. Man, that sure bounced us this direction, that direction. What was that about? But we'll look back and realize that God was walking us into and guiding us. And don't lean on your own understanding, but if you acknowledge Him, He will direct your paths. So I guess if I was going to title the brief message I want to give this morning, and boy, I apologize to you, I haven't been in very good shape lately. I just haven't. This has been a year that I've asked God for more joy than ever before. I've asked God for more peace than ever before. And I think the enemy heard me say that. This first 8 weeks of this year has just been some incredible things. And there's been some heavy burdens. And honestly, I've been pastoring for 32 years, as you know, but I've been preaching for about 40. And I think it's probably been harder to preach in the last 10, 12 weeks than it's been for years. It's just been harder to have a clear mind. And a lot of times I get up and I have a text, but I'm not even sure at all what I'm going to say. So I've been saying, Lord, is this a season I'm going through, or are you teaching me a new style of preaching? And that's okay. That's all right. I'm willing to go with whatever I need to do here. But this has been a difficult time. But this is one of those days where I'm positive what we're to talk about today. But I don't know what all I'm going to say, but I want to title what I'm saying, Trusting God in Troubled Times. Trusting God in Troubled Times. Staying true, hanging on. When things are confusing, in our own understanding, it doesn't make sense. In our own way of looking at it, our own perception, we're like, wait a minute. Now we realize that sometimes we go through hard times that are of our own making. We all realize that. I shared with you 2 weeks ago that the first few years I was saved was a little difficult in my own life because I was reaping some things I had sowed. And we realize that sometimes the things we're going through are things of our own making. And we work through those, and God walks us through those one at a time, and He'll get us on track and get us to hear His voice and develop us as we spend our time with Him. As I referred to before the song, Be Still My Soul. Spend your time with Him. You're not going to grow. You're not going to get past that. I don't want to get stuck in one spot. I want to move past that reaping. I want to go on to the next season. Do you know that God is never finished with us until we pass into heaven and we have our glorified body? My 96-year-old grandmother raised her weak arm at her bedside, and I said, how are you, Grandma? And she said, Tommy, God's working on my attitude. And she was 96. But that was encouraging to my own heart to see a humble spirit at 96. She didn't say, boy, I got it all conquered. I got it all together. She said, God's working on my attitude. And you know, I'm now in my 60s, and I'm going to be 61 in March the 29th. And I've been saying, Lord, I'm becoming an older man. Never thought I'd say those words. I don't mind it, but I just never thought I'd say. Life's passed so quick. I mean, it seems about 10 years ago, I'd run around town in a sports car. And that was 50 years ago, 40 years ago. 45 years ago. My subtraction's not very good today. Whatever it was back then. Time goes by quickly, but I've been saying, Lord, I want to become a man after your own heart. I want to become a sweet, kind, secure, safe, older man. This generation needs that bad. I want to become a sweet, kind, considerate, safe, older man that people can look to who don't have a father. Who can call when they have a need, and you can give some direction. And because you've spent your be still and know that I am God time, and because you've been still and close to God, you have something to offer. And maybe sometimes it's strong instruction, because God does give authority in His quiet time. Or maybe sometimes it's healing balm or comfort. I don't know what it may be, but I want to step up to whatever it is. When I need to be the corrector, I want to have the guts and courage to do that. When I need to be the comforter, I want to be have the sensitivity to do that. I want to be in the mood God's in. You with me? I want to be in the mood God's in. And when there's times when there needs to be correction, I say, Lord, give me the guts to do this. We all want to be liked. We don't like to upset. Lord, give me the guts to do this. But when there's the time to bring the healing balm and bring the fatherly, grandfatherly hug, help me to be what you are. Help me to be your hands and feet. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're His representatives. What an awesome privilege. Trusting God in troubled times. Hang on. Kevin, tie on tight. Stephan, tie on tight. Tie that knot. Pull on it. Get a hold of the anchor. We're going to hit some rough waters coming up here. Don't jump out in a storm. It's worse out there. Devil tries to tell you, oh, this boat's rocking so much, you better bail. Oh, no, it's a lot worse out there. Hang on. We're entering some troubled times, trusting God in troubled times. On December 23rd, 2000, now 16 years ago, boy, it doesn't seem that long, received a phone call at 2 a.m. in the morning and recognized it to be the whimpering voice of my strong German mother. And she said, "Tom, I need you to come over. I'm really sick. Daddy's asleep and he's not been feeling well. I need you to come over." She never do that. She never do that. 2 days before Christmas. Hurried out. Pam had little neon at the time, that little blue neon that we put a million miles on, almost. Snowstorm. Probably don't remember back then, but there was a huge snowstorm at Christmas that particular year. Drove over. Mom and Dad lived over here. They retired from being missionaries in Haiti for 23 years, and they were living over here next to where Vince lives. No, they were living where Vince lives. We lived next to where Vince lives. They were living where Vince lives in a different trailer. Never will forget coming down 450 North there and thinking my mom's, for mom to call and say, "Tom, I need your help." That isn't likely. And that was because she was too proud to ask for help. It's just that mom was a strong little German lady and she just didn't call you and ask for help. Usually call and ask her for help. And I pulled up there in the snowstorm and actually got stuck on the road and got out and ran the rest of the way and got to the trailer and went in and found mom sitting there. We found out later she'd had congestive heart failure. But she was sitting there on the couch of the trailer and all she could do is whisper. And she said, "Tom, I need you to get me back to the bathroom. I'm not feeling well at all." And I never will forget that as long as I live. As I leaned down and mom had been very, very special to me. Daddy was gone and a traveling evangelist when I was a child. Daddy was an awesome guy and a model of integrity, but honestly, truthfully, we didn't see Daddy that much. He was gone 6-8 weeks at a time. He's a very popular speaker, and he'd have, in the wintertime, he'd have revival services scheduled 6-8 weeks at a time. He'd call home all the time, but he'd be gone. He'd finish a revival meeting, and that's back in the 2-week revival era. He'd finish a revival meeting in Arkansas and start one. He'd finish on Sunday night and start one on Monday night, 1,000 miles away, and drive straight through. You wouldn't believe Daddy's schedule and what he would do. But we were home with Mom, and Mom was our dad and Mom. And if we heard noise at night and said, "Mom, I'm scared," Mom's the one that grabbed the broom handle, went on the front porch like I saw her do one night to see who was bothering us. And so a lot of closeness there with Mom. Mom was an incredible person. And I need to say that after she retired from the mission field only because of their health, I don't know that they would have ever retired. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I don't know if they ever would have. She sat right here where Kathy Hunt sits. So I like that spot there. And I think that God put Kathy Hunt there. That's my opinion. Mom always sat right over here to my left. And I'm going somewhere with this. She was a tremendous strength in the church. Sundays when you're raising 4 teenage boys and you got a lot going on in your life, and you've been short on sleep and you've been setting up at St. Vincent's Hospital half the night maybe with a patient, which I often was doing in those days, and you were coming trying to preach with the best that you could and you'd only had 2 or 3 hours of sleep, you just look over and she's smiling, just nodding her head. And as she got older, she'd mouth your words. Anybody remember that? This saw Mom? She'd sit on the front pew and she'd say all the sermon back to you. Her mouth moved the whole time. It always meant a lot to me after her death, because 2 women who are present in the service this morning came to me and said, "We want to take your mom's place as prayer warriors." And they're both here this morning. But Mom was an incredible prayer warrior and sat off to my left, and I didn't realize the strength that she gave being there. Do you know that when you've spent quiet time and you've been still and you know that He is God and you found the peace and strength that comes from your quiet time, do you know that you bring a presence? And you can just be present. And it warms somebody's heart. Quit selling yourself short. "Oh, Pastor, I wish I had all these gifts. I could do this or that." Just bring a presence. I think in troubled America today, we just need a whole lot of people that bring the presence. Are you with me? There's enough preachers that are about wearing us out. We need a whole bunch of people who bring a presence. I want to bring a presence to Walmart. And the kindest thing that can be said is when someone says to you, "You want a bouquet of flowers, beautiful spiritual flowers." yours. The kindest thing that can be said is when somebody says, I sense the Spirit of God in your presence. And God is no respecter of persons. Don't put me on some pedestal and think, well, that's just for preachers. No, God delights. God delights in giving His Spirit to each and every one of us. But it's found in the quiet time with Him. All right, just a little exit ramp. Mom brought a presence. I didn't realize, Kathy, how much that meant to me at the time until the first Sunday she wasn't there. I actually, I'm almost 61 now, so that was 16 years ago. So I wasn't a kid when she died. But I remember the Sunday after actually saying, Lord, I don't know if I can preach with her not out her without her here. I don't know if I can. And that might sound strange to you to say that. But she was such an incredible force. Don't underestimate what you bring for somebody. Do you hear me? Don't underestimate what you bring for somebody. We were just talking in a staff meeting, and Vince said in there, and I appreciate it. Vince and Guy and I were talking. We have precious staff meetings. And we were talking in there about how we need more people praying for us. And I said, well, I'm in the best time of my life. I probably got more prayer partners now than I ever have. And Vince said, he spoke up and he said, I feel like I need more. Get on board. These are troubled times. Become a prayer warrior. I'm not going to say his name because I don't think it'd be appropriate. But I visited a man in the church this week who said, come here. And this is a guy that came out of a horrible background. This guy is an ex-outlaw like half of us. I love this place, but we're a bunch of outlaws. He said, come here a minute. And you can tell by looking at this guy, his life's been rough, and he's been coming here to church, he's doing good. And I said, what? He said, come here. So I follow him out of the house, and we go in the garage. And he takes me through the front of the garage, and then he takes me through the back part of the garage, and then he turns into this room, and he said, I made a war room. And he opened up this little closet area, and sure enough, on the wall is prayer lists and pictures and scripture verses. He said, I want you to start calling me when people need prayer. Come on. You spend time with God, you'll bring a presence. Mom brought a tremendous presence. So, if that's just the exit ramp, imagine how long the highway is going to be. So, one thing nice about no notes is I can quit any time. When I went to the house that day and recognized the condition she was in, that bothered me. I recognize the role that she played in my life. She whispered, Tom, can you get me back to the bathroom? Don't bother Daddy. He's not feeling well. Mom was always so considerate. And Daddy had been having some health problems. Now, isn't that something that she didn't wake Daddy up? And it took me 15 minutes to get there in the snow at least. But she didn't want to bother Daddy. She was always that way. Did you know if you're self-sacrificing instead of self-centered, it makes a good marriage? Nobody said amen. Mark, we need to run more classes. You know, if you're self-sacrificing instead of self-centered, we're raising a generation of people who are self-centered. Might as well call it what it is. It's all about them. These kids grow up and they think it's all about them. Did you know it isn't about you? And then you find out you get in trouble and you go to court that the judge doesn't think it's all about you. There's some bad things happening in our world today. Mom was a very self-sacrificing person. I thought that was incredible that she didn't bother Daddy, even though he would have wanted her to wake him up. So I reached down and I got my arms a hold of her and I realized that she was just a sack of potatoes. She was limp and weak. And I actually picked her up and held on to her and she was just breathing really hard and she said, I've got to get back to the bathroom. And so I put her feet on top of mine. I remember it like it was yesterday. She just short and I could put my head on top of her, my chin on top of her head. And I put her feet on top of mine and held her front to front and we walked backwards through the living room of that trailer and through the kitchen of that trailer very, very carefully and we started down the hallway of the trailer. And what I didn't know is that the loving, precious Heavenly Father was letting me have a 45-second hug, maybe a minute and a half hug. with my mother before she went to heaven. It's bigger than us. God's doing more than we realize. You can get all caught up in, why is this happening in this mess, and I can't believe this, and why is mom so sick, and on. You can get tangled up in all of that where the Heavenly Father shows up. He shows up. When I look back, I thank God that for 100 times. I didn't get to see mom as much as I wanted because I was always busy in the ministry. And God allowed me to go over there, and in the quietness of that trailer I said 45 seconds, that was more like 2-3 minutes to get her back to the bathroom, but God allowed me to give her a 3-minute hug, and I got her back in the bathroom and realized we got her there situated where she needed to be, and I went back to the phone and I said, we got to get you to the hospital. And John Reese had just bought a new truck, and I knew that, and I thought, he's got a 4-wheel drive truck, he's gutsy, his wife's a doctor, hey, that'll work. So I thought, I'll call John. I know John. I don't think an ambulance can get out here with the snow. I know John. He'll try to come over. We got to get mom to the hospital. And what I didn't know is while I was on the phone talking with John, encouraging him to come over, which he was happy to do, but while I was on the phone, she had vomited and thrown up and aspirated, and she was a mess. And when I went back to the room, she was just full of all kinds of unpleasant things, and it was a bad situation. But I realized very quickly that it was a little too late. Plus, I also realized but I don't want to be too graphic here, but the amount that she had thrown up, that I wasn't going to get anywhere with this, and made some efforts to clear airways only to realize that it wasn't going to work. And I remember taking her over and helping her to the chair and setting her down in the recliner. And she leaned back in the chair, and I realized she had died. Trusting God in difficult times. Trusting God in difficult times. I remember sitting there on that floor, waiting, knowing it would probably be an hour, hour and a half before I need to make some other calls. And of course, I woke up Daddy. I won't go into all that. I told him Mom had died. And he said, what? And I said, Mother died. He said, no. I said, yes. I won't go into all of that. But went back in and sat down on the floor beside her in the back room of that trailer. And I remember looking over at her at times, her corpse there in the, pardon me if I'm too graphic, but the children are upstairs. And I remember looking over and, thank you, Rob, thinking to myself, I don't believe this. First of all, if you were to ask my mom, who do you want there? She loved all of her kids. There were 7 of us. 2 had died, John, Richard, and Carol. But if you'd have said to my mom, and mom didn't play favorites, but if you'd have said, I know my mom, and if you'd have said to my mom, you're going to be in trouble, and you're going to be strangling and aspirating, and you're going to be past the point probably where it can help you. Who do you want there? And she'll say, have Tom there. He'll know what to do. That's what she just said. Well, Tom didn't get it done. Tom didn't get it done. So I was kind of coming to grips with that. Sitting there realizing it would be an hour, hour and a half before Flowers Lady could be out and the road could be plowed, and they were going to send out a plow. The funeral director, I'm not sure if it was John or the funeral director, called the county, and they're going to plow the road. Of course, it's too late to get to the hospital. So, and appreciated those that helped in that situation. Kathy and John were incredible help there, and boy, what a relief under those conditions to have God takes care of you in troubled times, have a doctor come right to the house and recognize the whole situation and what had happened and deal with it accordingly. And wow, God just kind of steps in and helps you. Did you know? Sometimes you are actually his hands and feet. Don't shortchange yourself. God's Holy Spirit empowers us and uses our fleshly hands with their imperfections and uses your feet and your voice with all of our imperfections. But I remember sitting there on that floor and thinking, Lord, I would have thought that this would have gone like Elijah. My mother was the level of saint, in my opinion, that I would have thought that you would have sent the chariot that Elijah rode in and put mom in the other seat. I didn't see her dying like this. Trust in God in hard times. And sitting on that floor that day, God spoke to me and said several things, and some of those I've shared over the years, but as it pertains to today, one thing he said to me is, are you going to trust me with this? Are you going to trust me with this? And I found a peace that passeth all understanding when I said yes. And I can truthfully say, and I'm a mighty sensitive guy, and those of you know me know that, I'm a very conscientious man. I have not struggled with that since. I have. God gave me a peace sitting on that floor that day next to my mom's corpse after he asked me, are you going to trust me with this? There's going to be things, read my lips, there's going to be things, Christian brother and sister, that you're going to run into in this season before the Lord comes that aren't going to look right. There's going to be trials and difficulties that don't seem to match what you thought, what you perceived. It was interesting at Mom's funeral, as Jim and Paul and I shared the funeral. What an awesome privilege. Mom and the seed she had sown, that is through her three sons are ministers. We all were talking and we did a Robins sing and we sang songs because we grew up the singing Robins family. When we all said what was the main thing Mom's emphasis was in life as a Christian, it was faith and trust. Mom emphasized lots of things, but at the end of the day, that was the main thing. I never saw a person that emphasized faith and trust, and it made perfect sense to me as time went along, and I began to look back, and the emotions faded away, and some of the feelings melted, and I began to think real logically and look at my heart and analyze. It made perfect sense that in her death, he would call us to do what she always emphasized. And that's trust him. Oh, if a chariot of fire would have come by the trailer and we'd have seen white stallions snorting fire as Elijah's chariot was, and angels would have come and grabbed her and carried her out, we'd have talked about it and hoopla'd and carried on for about 3 or 4 weeks and taken pictures of it. But we wouldn't have learned some of the lessons we've learned in life. And I wouldn't be able as a minister to go into the room of somebody that just had a horrible thing happen and say, I know a little of how you feel. I know a little of how you feel. We're wounded healers. We've all been through some difficult circumstances. Trusting God in troubled times. Trusting God when things don't make sense. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Guess what? The following weeks, I had a new inspiration in preaching that I hadn't had before. Oh, I didn't think I could preach without Mom sitting there. I had a new level of inspiration. Hesitant to say this, but I think it needs to be said, a new level of anointing. Did you know that sometimes when God takes a precious person, He gives their anointing to you because they don't need it anymore. They're with the Father. He'll take that anointing and give it to you. And I saw some new things in myself. I saw a new boldness in myself that I thought I would even catch myself saying, that was just like my mom would do. I don't know all the reasons he took her and certainly don't know the reasons she went that way. But I know her emphasis was always, you trust, I don't care what happens, you trust. And we're heading into some troubled times and we've got to trust and hang on like never before. On November 18th of 2005, I'd been sick for 2 weeks. I thought I had the flu. Probably should have been smarter than that. But there was a flu going around at that particular time. Some of you may remember that in the fall of 05. There was a horrible strain of flu going around that just sapped the life out of me. There was a woman attending the church at that time that was about my age, a healthy gal, active gal, worked a lot of years and just a very active person. And she came down with this flu, and she told me she was so weak that she had to get on her hands and knees and crawl to the telephone to call the doctor. She was that weak. I thought that's what I had. I thought I had that flu. But when I began bleeding between my teeth and blood dripping from my nose, I thought there's more going on here than the flu. And went to the doctor through some divinely ordered circumstances. Man sitting in the congregation this morning felt prompted by God to check on me. It's right at the time I needed to go to the doctor, and there were a whole lot of things there that I won't go into this morning. But on November 18th, I got the news that I had acute myeloid leukemia. It was 10 years ago in this last November. And I remember the shock of, to be honest, the whole thought of dying. I don't want this to be misunderstood, but I don't know that that bothered me so much. Really, I've been a Christian for a lot of years, and I don't know that the Lord takes the sting out of that. I don't know that really bothered me so much as, yeah, you think of family and missing family, but there was a side of me that there was a twinge of excitement about seeing the Lord and faith becoming sight. But the shock of the news just threw me out of the saddle. It just did. And I remember that night, and they said they didn't know if I would live that night. Said I could have a massive stroke at any time. White count, 137,000. I had actually fainted in the field next to the house. Everything turned yellow. They think I had a mild stroke then. But I remember that night, and early the next morning, the thoughts coming to me, are you going to trust me with this? When everything I'd ever preached on and told others, and how many times had I gone to bedsides and read the 23rd Psalm and told people with sincerity, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for the Lord will be with you. Sometimes you'll go through some circumstances in life that the rubber hits the road and you have to put into practice what you've told others you believe. Trusting God in troubled times. As you know and see before you, God chose to miraculously deliver me. I was not supposed to live the first night. Spent the biggest part of 5 months in the hospital. But God spoke to me from 2 Kings 20. The promises of God are awesome. 2 Kings 20, where he spoke to Hezekiah the prophet. And he said, I will heal you and add 15 years to your life. God spoke to Pam and said, from Psalms, with long life I will satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. God spoke to Kevin, and none of us had talked, from the story of Lazarus when he was praying for me and said, this sickness is not unto death. It's interesting, the different family members and how God spoke through different ones, and we hadn't talked to each other. And I don't know, and nor do I feel worthy of that. I've had many a funeral for people that it evidently was their time. In Psalms it says that our times are in his hands, and I struggled terribly with feeling guilty after my healing. I did. Maybe you wouldn't struggle with that, but I did. I struggled with feeling guilty. And it was Irma Moshesh, who was dying with cancer, who chastised me. Standing at her bedside, and this is amazing that God used a woman who was dying of cancer, a godly woman. She read that in me. I'd mentored her and Paul. And spent a lot of time with that. And she read them. I felt guilty when I'd go to a bedside because I was so healthy. Everybody said, you look younger. But God had given me the Psalm. That's a verse I didn't tell you. God had given me in Psalms 103 that I'll renew your youth. And everybody said, you look younger than you did before you had the cancer. But what they didn't know is that I felt guilty. I did. I felt guilty. I would visit people with cancer, and I felt guilty. I felt like I had to be apologetic. And I never will forget Irma raising her skinny arm, because it was. And she pointed at me And she said, you got to quit feeling guilty. God chose to touch you. Maybe he's chosen to take me. You tell your story. It's powerful. Isn't it amazing how God shows up? And ever since she said that, I've been telling my story without apology. Oh, I care deeply. And it rings my bell when somebody's battling with cancer. And I believe I have a ministry with people that are battling that and are on that difficult journey. But it's interesting how God works. What's the point of what I'm saying today? And I'm going to close directly. Trusting God in difficult times. That same year, and this is a short one, that same year in 06, just finished cancer treatment at the end of April, would hug Dr. Schultz, awesome doctor, would hug Dr. Fraze. I had five doctors. Those two men became very close to me, and Dr. Fraze and I still meet. It's awesome, the connections. I guess my mind's just going with, it's amazing how God works in all things for good. I don't want to be flippant or say anything out of line, but just the friendship with Joe Fraze and the value that's come from that and the investment in each other's lives. And that was just one thing that came from that cancer experience. That was just one thing. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. And he will direct your paths. He'll connect you with people you didn't realize you could connect with. He'll bring people across your path in a hospital room that you can have effect on. And that paperback book back there, I'm no author. I'd rather break a horse, ride a motorcycle. I'm not a briefcase carrying author kind of a guy. I never wanted to write a book. And God spoke to me from that precious pad of blessings where he had challenged me, write your blessings. As you're in the hospital, write your blessings, Tom. And as I wrote those blessings, God then spoke to me to write that book, The Day I Was Blessed with Leukemia. The title's almost offensive, it seems, but I feel God gave me that title. That book is as much a miracle as the cancer. I thought we'd give out 600-800 of those. We've got some friends. We've pastored a long time. Yeah, I thought we'd give out 600-800. By request now, we've given out over 8,500 books. 8,500 books. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because God is doing something bigger. In my case, I needed to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and it needed to stretch out long enough for me to write a book. I'm not belittling instant miracles. We've had some. We've had some instant miracles. God healed Scotty as a little boy with a bone infection. And I went back to the doctor the next day, and he kept scratching his head, and he said, I don't see any sign of anything. I don't understand this. And I knew I'd anointed him in the middle of the night. God spoke to me and said, go down and anoint your son. And went down and anointed him, and he was asleep in the middle of the night. And it was an instant healing. But my cancer, I spent almost 5 months in the hospital, in and out a few times. But through that, the Holy Spirit used my own hands, who were incapable, to write a story that I even gave out last week at my eye surgery. Two nurses broke down, cried at my bedside at the eye surgery and asked for a book, and I took a stack of books to them when I went back for the second eye. This ain't a brag session. Well, I'm bragging on the Lord. This ain't a brag session. I'm as weak as, if you knew how weak I was, scared you to death, he'd vote me out. You get to heaven, find out how weak I am, you're saying, I don't believe we had that guy as a pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. If you put it out there and put your trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding and let go of control and give God your life and start spending time with God, God will start working in you and God will show up in your life. It ain't about church. It ain't about an organization. Oh, that can be helpful. Obviously, we think it must be or we wouldn't be here. Yeah, that's a supplement. I'm talking about daily life. I'm talking about God wants you to be an ambassador for Christ at Walmart. He wants you to be an ambassador for Christ in your office place. And God will work through you in incredible ways. But in these tough times, we got to learn to trust him despite circumstances because the devil wants to derail you. And I finished treatment, was declared cancer clear and free in April of 06. Got to walking again. It was great. Like to walk 5 miles a day when the weather's decent. Remember the first time I walked the mailbox, about killed me. I thought, how am I going to build back up to walk 5 miles again? Wasn't long, back walking. And then it was time to take a vacation. And we're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Pam and I are getting together with some friends. We're going to go on a motorcycle trip. And I've been in the hospital all winter. It's going to be awesome. We're going to ride the motorcycle and we're going to go on a trip with five other couples. because time's getting away, I'll cut out all the details, but when we were coming back from a motorcycle trip in August of 06, we called Tom and Tricia, my oldest son and daughter-in-law, and we said, let's meet at the Mexican restaurant in Logansport before we get home. And let's see you for a little bit because of their schedule. And we haven't got together with them for a while. We got a day or two vacation left. Let's do that. So I go into the Mexican restaurant, had left the other couples, and we'd all said our goodbyes. We had a nice trip. We pull in the Mexican restaurant, and Tom walks out and meets me in front. And he said, has anybody got a hold of you? And I said, no. He said, your house is on fire. I said, excuse me? And he said, your house is on fire. I said, right now? He said, yeah. You need to go home. I said, okay. So we go home. And sure enough, we come up the lane on the motorcycle. And kids from the youth group had all been over there, and they'd been riding horses and doing different things. And one of those precious girls in the youth group had gone into the bathroom and lit the garden tub candle. Incidentally, fire departments say that's a leading source, leading cause of fire in houses. A lot of those candles that are in the glass, the glass is of inferior quality, and the glass will shatter after a while. Anyway, that was a cause of fire. Sure enough, we come up the lane, and the house is on fire. And as we're rumbling up the lane, real slow, looking and thinking, mercy, and there's kids standing everywhere, and there's fire trucks everywhere, and they're still spraying the house. And we're coming up the lane. I'm thinking, this has been a crazy year. We had cancer last year, now the house is on fire. And as I went up the lane, God spoke to me as clear, and he spoke loud enough I could hear it over my motorcycle, and I got loud pipes. He did speak to me very clearly, and he said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to model how a Christian man acts when he loses everything he's got. I remember crying and saying, okay, Lord, don't let me fail the test. And I recognized that even in hard times, God is trying to use you and teach you, only to find out weeks later that the fire chief was touched by that. And it isn't about me. What am I saying to you? Take your time with God. God shows up. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't do special things for preachers. Oh, he does special things if they're walking with God. And if you walk with God, he's no respecter of persons. Buy in. But to buy in, you got to trust him in the hard times. You got to trust him with the stuff that doesn't make sense. You got to trust him with the difficult things. It's time to close. Well, I told three stories. That's what I did. And some of you knew those stories, but there's a whole bunch of you didn't. And I think those three stories in my life illustrate very well what this verse is. I want to live up, do better with this verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. This thing works. This thing works. It absolutely works. I had somebody ask me one time, why do you believe what you believe? I don't totally understand. I said, because it's working. It worked when mom died in my arms. It worked when the house burnt down. It worked when we all nearly died of cancer. It worked through near-death experiences three times with children. It's worked. And I'm not about to let go. Let's stand together.